Welcome to Jesus-Centric Life. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh. And today's conversation is about, are you leading or just doing? Now, this is kind of a difficult conversation. I think I say that at the beginning of every single podcast.
We're just having difficult conversations. Right. That's what we do on our podcast.
That's it. We should call it the Difficult Conversation Podcast. But one of the things that we've had a lot of feedback with at Peace with Christ is, I'm not a leader. I don't know why you keep inviting me to all of these leadership trainings, things, all of that.
Yeah.
So help us understand what it means to be a leader in a church and how you view that and why it's so valuable.
Yeah. So I think when we talk about leadership, my go-to verse is always from Paul, where he says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? And so Paul is saying that I get to follow Jesus. And now what I do as a Christian is I invite others to follow me. The Bible, Jesus also says, right, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say, now this is key, because a lot of times we think about it like this. We think about Jesus came so that I might be discipled. But that's not what he says, is it?
No.
Right? He says, go and make disciples. So he invites you to lead other people to a deeper knowledge of what it means to follow Jesus, right? And that's the call of the church.
And as you go, not just go, but as you go, as you're living your life, as you're doing your thing, raising your family, make disciples.
Yeah, what I do for a job is I'm a pastor. The bigger call on my life is to make disciples of my kids, of my neighbors, of the people that are around me. And so by virtue of that, then, every single Christian that exists is empowered to be a leader, right? Like,
whether you have the gift of leadership or
correct.
Not.
Correct. Whether you view yourself as a leader or not, right? And I think that, and we've talked about this before, but the challenge of leadership is I hear a leader, and I think the type A leader that's out front, that's telling everybody what to do, that has the whole situation under control. And that's one version of a leader.
Correct.
But you're also a leader when somebody new walks into church, you welcome them, you say, hey, can I show you where the coffee is? Like, that doesn't take a crazy type A leader barking orders at everybody. That says, hey, come follow me. And how do we apply that to, you know, our knowledge of what do I know about Jesus? How can I pass that on to my kids? How can I pass that on to my neighbors? How can I pass that on to somebody else? Because in the same way, when you walk into Peace with Christ as a member, you may know where the coffee is and somebody else doesn't. You may know something about Jesus that somebody else doesn't. So how do you take what you know, pass it on to somebody else? And that, right? That's leadership, is it not?
Yeah, it is. But why do so many Christians disqualify themselves from this kind of leadership? It's almost like we shouldn't call it leadership, but it is leadership. But it's taking the initiative to show, bring, lead someone to Jesus, right? So why do we disqualify ourselves in that?
I mean, there's probably lots of reasons. We're busy. We have a lot going on. We don't view ourselves as a leader, so we're not confident in it. We sometimes think somebody else can do it. Like, so my first thing that I did leading was weird, but it was actually track. We had a really good crew of senior leaders my sophomore year. They kind of led us as kind of, and then I get to my junior year and I like look around and it's me. And so I never saw myself as a leader, but I was like, well, if somebody doesn't step up, then we're not going to have a leader. And so I jumped into it, not because I wanted to, but because I realized that it needed to be done. And so I did. And I don't know that I did great or it was natural or easy for me. Like, I think it was for the, you know, the few seniors before that were really good leaders, but like I was able to do it. But I think like that's sometimes scary for us. So we see somebody else, they could do it or somebody else could do it better. So we don't do it. But I think, I don't know, there's lots of reasons, but that might be one that, I've got to trust that if God has called me to it, if he calls me to be a disciple maker, aka a leader, then he's going to give me what I need to make it happen.
Yeah, he will equip you for what you need to do.
Yeah.
Show up. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah, and bring, and it's okay to bring who you are, right? Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't the best in some ways, and I got some coaching from my coach, and that was neat. And but you know, I brought who I was to it, and I think God can work through that.
Do you think passion and leadership go together? Like, can I be passionate about something and grow in my leadership in that area? I think of somebody that came in not too long ago, and they are very passionate about the ministry that they lead, but they don't identify themselves as a leader, right? And they sat down with us and they were like, oh, I feel inept as a leader. But then they talked about their passion, which leaned into their leadership. Like, but you are. How do those two work together? How do we help people understand that when God gives you passion, he's given you the leadership that you need for that area? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so I'm going to go back to like, so I think I've learned over time that I can be a leader, but I'm not a, and we talk about, we've talked about this before. I think you're a natural leader. Like it's just in your DNA. Like if there's a situation, you're ready and available to take charge, right? And you do a great job of that. It's just not natural for you. I have to kind of analyze to jump into leadership. I have to think it through. I have to have a plan in my leadership. And so I'm a very different type of leader. I've learned that I could lead. And again, for me, it goes back to that track. I had the passion for my team. Yeah. I had the passion for us working well together. And so because of that, I looked around, and if there was somebody else that could have led, I would have been fine following. I do well following. I do well following a lead of someone. But there wasn't leadership, and so I jumped in because I had the passion. And so then for me, I had to use other gifts that I have. And so for me, I can think things through. I can process it. I can formulate a plan. I can kind of look at it from your angle and my angle and all of our angle. And
you have the wisdom.
Yeah. Or, you know, and so, yeah. So I was able to use kind of the other gifts. And so that's what I would say, like, if you're not a natural leader, you're going to have to lean on some of your other gifts. But if you have the passion, then that's a great place to start, right? What other gifts has God given you? Has God given you the ability to be really detailed oriented? Well, be really detailed oriented and then share that with other people. But I think what sometimes where people get lost is they're really detail oriented. So they fixate on, well, I'm going to do all the details. And as a leader, no, if you end up doing all the details, you're just making the event happen. You're not actually leading others to do it.
Right.
And I think that's sometimes where we get tripped up to as leaders. But it's using the skills as you have and then asking the question, how do I pass them on to others? Mm. Not just how do I get the job done, but a leader says, I want to pass those on to other people.
Correct.
I want to empower them and help them to make it happen. And so I think the big switch we have to make from a leader and a doer, since I went there, is that as a leader, my greatest wins aren't when I tell you that I did something.
Correct.
As a leader, my greatest wins are when I tell you about something that someone else did.
Yes.
Right? That's the big difference from leadership. And so doership is I made this happen. Mm. Leadership is I empowered these people and they kicked it out of the park. And yeah, I had a lot of skin in the game. Like you kind of can think that to yourself. I had a lot of skin in the game. It took a lot of work for me, but I empowered them. They knocked it out of the park. That's leadership. Mm. And so how do we help others do that within the skills and abilities that we have?
You touched on a minute ago, I view you as a leader. I view you as a really good leader. And, you've grown in that a lot since you've been at Peace, because you were a right seat pastor, kind of shifted in that left seat pastor. And you have to be able to lead a congregation in that left seat. What really helped you to grow in your leadership? Where's been your greatest growth in that?
I don't know. I mean, I can look so much easily at where I haven't grown and where I still need to grow than where I have. But I think it was a realization of where my skills and abilities lie and where they don't. And then just practice too. I would say like you can't get there without having the reps, right? Like I can walk into a room now without planning and take charge if I need to. And it happens sometimes where I can do that if I need to. But I'm always better if I plan, but because I've had the reps now, but I think it's just realizing what my skills and abilities are. And so for me, like especially when I was first leading, I had to think through how I was going to lead. Like I had to literally like, going back to probably like student ministry, I had to think through how I was going to lead this. Like I had to envision myself like running a lock-in. I had to envision myself about how I was going to move the kids from this place to the other. Right? Those for you, that would just be natural for you. But I used my analytical mind to pre-plan how I was going to lead, and then I made it happen. And so that's again, when you're leading, you use the skills and abilities God has given you. For your natural born leader, you don't have to do that. That's crazy. Why would you spend time thinking through that? That would like that would drive you crazy. But if you're not, like, I'm analytical, so I'm going to use that. If you're good at building to-do lists, like, write yourself a to-do list before you go and lead this thing, right? Like, you know.
One's not better than the other. It's just functioning in the gifts that you have.
Yeah. And so, but I think it's getting rid of the, you know, if I'm a natural born leader, I'll lead. But if I'm not, then I'll just kind of sit back and do stuff. And I think we're in a world where we need more robust, courageous leaders who are willing to say, I don't have everything figured out, but I want to help people take some steps forward.
I would absolutely agree with that, for sure. Why is leadership such a difficult concept in our culture today? I feel like we went through a period of time where there were a bajillion leadership books out there and, you know, they were how to live at the pinnacle of your leadership, how to be better than the leader next to you, all that stuff, right? But it seems like right now we've kind of seen a decline in that. Why is that?
Maybe some of it is because you're not looking for them like I am. So like I still do read a lot of new and current stuff on leadership. It's kind of a big, I might even say hobby of mine, learning more about leadership. But I think some of it also is, maybe there's kind of a distrust of leadership right now. We live in a world where if you're in authority, we've kind of changed it. It used to be when you're in authority, you have my respect and admiration. Now it's when you're in leadership, you have my skepticism. And
it's
so
really
like,
true.
I think because of that, leadership has now gotten way harder than it used to be. Like when you decide you're going to lead, even in a volunteer role, you're agreeing at some level to put a target on your back, to have people mad at you. And I think whenever you work with people, leadership means friction and change and challenge.
You have to be up for it.
You have to be up for that.
You do. You have a saying where you say friction means that you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's like, let's go. Let's go somewhere.
Yeah.
And for some people, that thought of that friction is way too overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean we're going to wrestle with this? What do you mean it's going to be hard?
Yeah.
And I think that's what does cause people to say, the guy next to me can do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think two podcasts from now, and we recorded already, but it's going to drop after this one, but we sit down with Emma, and she talks about some things that I think will help with that, because, like, being a leader means I have to wrestle with what's going on internally with me. And so that's, I think, a challenge, because, like, when somebody disagrees with you, what other emotions are you dealing with other than just the fact that they disagreed with you? And so I think that's a challenge of leadership that possibly you led one time, you tried it, you got hurt, and you never want to do that again. And instead of saying, and this is what we do as humans, instead of saying that sucked, I don't want to feel that, or asking why do I feel that, instead of doing that, we jump to, well, I'm not a leader. And what I'm really saying is, I'm just going to be blunt. What I'm really saying is God has placed this on my heart to lead. He's called me to lead in the Bible, but it hurts too much, so I don't want to go back down that road. And can I just say, I'm with you. That's fair. I feel that as well. But at the same time, how do we work through that and not just avoid it? Yeah. And now we just went real deep.
And to trust what God's going to do with that. Yeah. Like, I remember when I was going through the divorce, I had to, one of the things that the church council wanted me to do was to send a letter out to the congregation explaining what had happened in a way that was not full disclosure, but was being transparent.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody reached out to me. It was a friend of mine and one of my students' parents reached out to me and said, I'm so angry that you had to do that. And they said, aren't you angry? And I was like, no, I'm really not, because this is what I signed up for. When I became a leader in the church, that is saying I'm going to let people into my life. And there's no part of that that's off bounds. Like, yeah, you are watching me parent. You are watching me live out my marriage. You are watching me live out daily things. And so are the students. And no, I'm not mad. It's what we signed up for.
Yeah.
And understanding as a leader that we sign up for some of the hard.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to be glamorous and fun and all those things. But I like how you said it, to go back to what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
Let's get back to business. Let's not worry about the pain and the hard and the hurt and the transparency and all those things. But to get back to our main goal is Christ.
Yeah.
It's to show them the way to the cross. And that's all of it's worth it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you come to know Jesus and you have a relationship with him, it's a win and it's okay.
Yeah.
I can take a little friction. I can do this.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, whether you're leading ushers, whether you're leading something up front, whether you're leading decorating, whether you're leading coffee, like it's all a part of this. How do we build ourselves up as a place where we can have relationships here and learn about Jesus,
and
right?
And love each other well.
And love each other well.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing of leadership. Like, it's easy to go on the challenging parts about it. But when we lead, we also develop these relationships with us where people care for us, where they want to support us, where they want to encourage us, where they see the good that we're doing and the hard that we have, and they get to encourage us. And I think, you know, my prayer is that as you lead, that you get way more encouragement back than, you know, the negativity you get. And I find that most of the time, it's easy to fixate on like the one person that's feeling the friction a little more, dare I say, as opposed to, you know, the other 10 people that are saying, you know, well done and good job and God is using you. Like, I think, you know, as leaders, we focus sometimes on the negative as opposed to all the good ways that people are building us up.
We had a new family that was not a new family. They came back to peace with Christ. And the boy, who was a very young boy at the time, is now a man. And I was like, I know you. I know you. And he said this. He said, I'm back because I remembered that this is where my family was. And this is where I learned the most about Jesus. And I'm bringing my mom and I'm bringing her new husband. And I want to be back with my faith family. And there's a part of me, it was not about me. It was about what that community had done in his life and been in his life. And I just wanted to raise my arms up in the air and go, oh, praise God. Praise God for the win. Not my win, but God's win.
Yeah.
God brought him back and he's yeah, they're just happy to be back and they're happy to be in the family.
Yeah.
And they never left, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But to know that they have that here, and that's what it's all about. At
right.
the end of the day, that's the win.
Yeah. And how many leaders does it take to build that culture, to build that attitude, to build that spirit, to build the programs that make it what it is? Like, you know, we could, you know, you're right, it's not your win, but yet you're a part of that, right? And a lot of people are a part of that. Like for peace to be who it is, it takes a lot of leaders. And I guess what I'm saying is that we always need more people saying, being willing to say that I'm a part of that culture, I'm a part of that training, I'm a part of the programs, I'm a part of that. And I think we don't need more people just sitting in our pews. We need more people that are willing to say, I get to lead this forward, that I'm not just going to wait for somebody else to do it, or I'm not just going to have an idea and wait for somebody to step up, but I'm going to lead this. I see a need here, and I, you know, I may need some coaching, I may need some help, I may need some support, but I want to be a part of leading what we're doing forward and reaching more people with the gospel of Jesus. And whether that's, you know, your kids in your home or your spouse or your neighbors or coworkers, or whether it's, you know, somewhere in church, or whether it's, you know, the new person that you help to feel a little comfortable, that's all leadership.
Yeah.
And it takes all of us.
It does. It takes a village. Yeah. And ours is pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. And such a blessing to be here and to be a part of it with you. And we really appreciate you listening. And we look forward to our next conversation. Thanks so much.